This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
The title of our series is Right with God, the Truth About Righteousness. You remember that? And this is now part four. And just briefly, in part one, we looked at what righteousness is and how we get it. You remember that? I hope you joined us online and you understood that. In part two, we looked at the fact that we get eternal righteousness in Jesus, right? So we have everlasting right standing with God, correct? And then in part three, we looked at the unstoppable power of God's righteousness. We saw just how powerfully it can work for us, right? You remember I shared that Old Testament account of Balaam and Balak and the people of Israel, and how, because of righteousness, God intervened for the people. Amen. And so today, I want to show you how righteousness impacts our health. Just the knowledge of God's righteousness that you have in Jesus, how it can actually affect your health directly. It's one of the other ways that God has provided a means for us to enjoy good health and wholeness. So 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, reading from the Amplified Translation. Talking about God and Jesus. Watch what it says. It says, He made Christ, who knew no sin, to judicially be sin on our behalf. So if God caused Jesus to be sin, does that mean that Jesus became sinful? Does that mean that Jesus sinned? No, it doesn't. All it means is that he took upon himself our state of sin in fallen Adam, right? And here's why. So that in him we would become, not earn or deserve, but become the righteousness of whom? Of the best angel in heaven? Of the holiest person who's ever lived? No. So that we would become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to him and placed in right relationship, or you could say right standing with him, by his gracious loving kindness. What we see here is that Jesus didn't become sinful or a sinner, but rather he took upon himself our state of sin so that we can take his state of righteousness. Having understood that then, can I say this? Tell me if this is correct. Sin is not wrongdoing then. Because if sin was wrongdoing, then Jesus would have become a sinner when God put our sin on him. So sin is not wrongdoing. It leads to wrongdoing. But sin itself is a state, not an action or a set of actions. So that's something we need to make sure we understand. Sin itself is an entity. It's not a set of actions. It's not one action. Sin itself is a state, a condition. And most religions, most legalistic teachers teach that sin is wrongdoing. And it's not correct. Sin is not wrongdoing. Sin is a state, it's a condition. This is why God could put the whole state on Jesus and it still didn't make him a sinner, because it didn't make him do wrong. He was just simply taking it upon himself so that he could put his righteousness on us. So having said that then, in the same way, righteousness is not right doing. Can I say that? It leads to right doing, but righteousness itself, as sin is equally a state and not actions or the result of right actions. So if I do a whole bunch of right things and I try and behave as righteously as possible, it's never going to make me as righteous as I need to be before God, right? So righteousness itself is not a set of actions, rightful actions, righteous actions. Righteousness is actually a state, just like sin is a state. That's why God took our sinful state or condition and put it on Jesus, and he then paid the price and the consequence and everything else for it, so that he could take his righteous state and then put it on us, so that we could be righteous. So we could possess the righteousness of God. Can we still sin and mess up? Yes, we can. Does it change the fact that we are righteous? No. But to clarify that, let's read Romans 5 verse 12 from the New Living. Watch this. And then we're going to jump to 18 and 19. Watch this real carefully on the screen. It's going to clarify what I just told you. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. See that? So the whole entire creation now suffers the consequence of Adam's bad choice. Right? Adam's sin brought death. Now, when it says Adam's sin, does it mean the action or does it mean the state? It means the state. So Adam's state of sin that he was now in brought death, talking about separation from God. So death spread to everyone, for everyone now sinned, you could say. Why? Because we're all now descendants of a fallen being, right? Then look at verse 18 and 19. It says, yes, Adam's one sin, so for him it took one. Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners, talking about the rest of mankind. But because one other person obeyed God, talking about Jesus, many will be made righteous. In other words, if they believe and receive, then they will be made righteous. So for us, the state produces the behavior, not the other way around. It did for Adam, but not for us. You follow? So just like what Adam then did made us sinners, what Jesus did makes us righteous, and not what we do or don't do. You can't be righteous in Jesus by your doing. He took our state and gave us his state, so it takes nothing from us to be in that state. Aren't you glad about that? You see, that's called God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. Just as Jesus became sin without the need for sinful deeds, we become righteous without the need for righteous deeds. Jesus became sin, the state of sin, but he didn't sin. That's why it tells in the scripture, yet without sin, right? So it took no deeds for him to take that. Equally, we become the righteousness of God. And there's no need for righteous deeds because it's not based on our deeds, right? So we are solidly righteous before God because it's not on the basis of our doing. It's on the basis of his doing, his provision, right? So the other thing too that we see in that portion is that we have the righteousness of God. So we are as righteous as God is. Okay, so now that we understand that, let's see the connection between righteousness and health. Okay? 3 John 2. There's only one chapter, so it's 3 John 1, 2, but it's just one chapter, so it's verse 2. Watch this. What does it say? It's on the screen. Beloved. So that's talking about those who have received righteousness in Jesus, right? Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper, now watch what he says next, and be in good health, and I love the way the Amplified brings it from the original, be in good health, how? Physically, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. So when you understand that you are righteous before God, outside of your merit or performance, and that it's given to you by grace, and it never changes. You know that you're righteous before God no matter what, once you receive salvation in Jesus. Doesn't your soul prosper? Can I say this and be correct? You tell me. Is it God's will for the believer to walk in new covenant health throughout their lives here on earth? Based on that, can I say that? Yes, I can. Because he says, I pray that you may prosper and be in good health, just as you prosper spiritually, you could say. So yes, it is God's will that the new covenant believer walk in good health. So just as we walk in new covenant righteousness, God wants us to walk in new covenant health. So let me show you how, just like we can walk in new covenant righteousness, how we can walk in new covenant health because of righteousness or influenced by righteousness. Watch this. Romans 8 verse 6, now reading from the New King James. For to be carnally, what's the next word? Minded. What does that mean? In other words, to have the mindset, the thoughts, the continuous thinking, right? So to be carnally minded, what does it mean carnally? What does carnally mean? Fleshly. Humanly, humanistic, without God, human ways, human wisdom. In other words, you don't think like God thinks, you think the way people think. That's another way you can put that, okay? It says, for to be carnally minded, in other words, to think as other humans think and not like God thinks, what does it say it is death. In other words, it brings not only separation between you and God, but it also brings destruction to yourself. And I'm going to show you that in a moment. But to be spiritually minded, what does that mean? In other words, to think the way God thinks, right, is life and peace. So in other words, if you want to enjoy life, good life, and if you want to enjoy real, deep, inner peace, you need to think how. You need to think the way God thinks. But if you go with the way people think, no matter how wise they are and how many PhDs and doctorates they have behind their name, they're still people. What is it going to do? It's going to bring death. But if you think the way God thinks, it's going to bring life and peace. Right? In other words, you may get some weird diagnosis, but you're going to be with life and peace because you think the way God thinks. Now, I know that what people, the so-called wise people of the world say, well, that's just, you know, an escape route. That's just a crutch. You just can't accept reality. I am a realist. God's reality is way more real than natural reality. If our mind only sees things the way they are naturally, then it will do us no good. Can I put it that way? So if we just go by what we naturally experience, what we naturally see, and what people naturally say, it will do us no good. You see, our mind needs to see things the way God sees them. That's called faith. That's called believing. In other words, I know what naturally speaking, this is what the world and people say, but this is what God says, and that's what my mind is going to be like. That's what my mindset is going to be about, right? Now, looking at this verse again, look at it real carefully with me. Can I say and make this statement based on this verse? The mind then is the bridge to perspective. Can I say that? My mind is my bridge to the perspective I'm going to have. So if my mind is filled with doubt, unbelief, as people say, you know, realistic mindset, which is doubt and unbelief, and there's no God, and he doesn't heal, he doesn't care, and all the other things that so-called realists say. If my mind is filled with all that, then that's going to become my perspective. And what does that perspective do according to this verse? It is going to draw more death into my life. Why would I want that? But if my mind is filled with God's perspective, it means that my perspective is going to be like God's perspective. And what does that perspective do? It draws life and peace. Right? So the mind plays a key role in what I'm about to share with you now about the link between righteousness and health. Okay? Same chapter. Let's just jump a few verses down. And we're going to read verses 10 and 11 now. Watch this. So this is all in context with what we've just read about the mind, okay? And if Christ is in you, watch this. The body is dead because of sin. In other words, this natural physical body that we live in, it's going to decay because of the fall. That's another way you can put it. But watch what it says next. So in other words, yes, your body, your natural physical body has an expiry date, is what this is saying, okay? But watch what it says next. But the Spirit, who's that? The Holy Spirit. But the Spirit is life because of, say that again, because of? Hold on a minute. So the body is subject to decay because of what Adam did, and we're all his descendants. But in the midst of living in this body that decays because of that, God provides through his Holy Spirit a way for us to enjoy a good quality of life, and he provides that based on righteousness. So if we have a good, solid understanding and mindset of the righteousness that we have in Jesus and live in that reality, then we're going to enjoy, our physical body is going to enjoy good life, health, and wholeness. You see that? It's powerful. Then watch what it says in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him, talking about the Holy Spirit again, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. Now, in context, what he's trying to do, or what he is doing, is he is letting us know he has power to raise someone from the dead. In other words, imagine what more he can do for you physically in your body. That's the point he's trying to make here. He says, okay, from the dead. He who raised Christ from the dead will also, watch us carefully now, because I've emboldened it. He will also give life to your heavenly bodies. Is that what it says? To your future eternal bodies. Is that what it says? No. It says he will also give life to your mortal bodies. In other words, even though your body has an expiry date and it's slowly decaying, it doesn't have to go a bad way. It can go a good way. Why? Because you understand righteousness. In other words, the mind has the perspective of understanding what God has done for us in Jesus, which will affect our physical body. Do you see that? Through His Spirit who dwells in you. In other words, this is not talking about our immortal bodies, which we'll have in eternity. It's talking about our physical body here on earth. So we can trust Him to have a good and enjoy a good, healthy, wholesome physical life, but on the basis of what? Righteousness. This is why we've spent time on this series to talk about righteousness. And it's the first, I've taught on it before, but this series I've gone a little deeper. I'm sure you've noticed that. And that's because we need to understand the righteousness we have in Jesus so that we can trust God to affect our physical bodies so that we can enjoy good health and wholeness. Can I have a good amen from somebody? So even though our earthly body is destined to get old and eventually perish, it doesn't have to be in a bad way, in bad health, right? Remember, that verse is still on the screen there. Look at these, remember those key phrases here. It says, the Spirit is life because of righteousness, right? And then secondly, you saw that the Spirit also will give life to your mortal bodies because of righteousness, right? So when our mind is set on the righteousness we have in Jesus, it allows the Spirit of God to give life to our physical body. So just as righteousness is a gift, good health and wholeness is also a gift that God gives us in Jesus. And it's a gift that we receive by faith as we do with righteousness. Correct? So the same way you receive righteousness is the same way you receive health and wholeness. So the only thing then that can hinder the Spirit of God from giving life to your physical body then is what? Your mind. My mind. Because remember, it started with the mind as the bridge of perspective. So my mind is the only thing that can get in the way of preventing, if you will, or hindering God's Spirit from manifesting that wonderful physical health and wholeness. It's because my perspective doesn't align with God's perspective. It aligns with humanism's perspective. And that's why it's so important for us to get into the Word, believe what God says, and change our perspective to God's perspective. The only thing that can hinder the Spirit of God from giving life to our physical body is our mind. And so when our mind lines up with God's perspective, it frees the Spirit of God to manifest physical healing in our body because it's on the basis of the righteousness that He gave us in Jesus, right? So it behooves us to understand righteousness. Isn't that so? I mean, if your mind doesn't know that you are righteous, your physical body will not know that you have the life of God working in you. That's what that verse showed us, right? If our mind doesn't know that we have that kind of righteousness, our physical body will not know that it's got that very life of God, the Spirit of God working in you to bring that health and wholeness to you. That's what this verse is telling us. So if the mind doesn't agree with the Spirit cannot flow to touch the body. You see, God's righteousness is meant to and is well able to impact our physical well-being. This is why we teach on righteousness. And the only thing standing in the way is our mind. That's why our mind needs to be renewed. We need to change our perspective if it doesn't line up with God's perspective. Look at Romans 12, verse 2. We're familiar with this, but I want to read it to you from the Passion Translation today. Watch what God Himself tells us here about the mind. He says, stop. What does stop mean? Does that mean keep it a little bit? Keep on going slowly? No, stop means end, right? Stop imitating, watch this, the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. He's talking about worldly, ungodly thinking. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation. What does it say next? Of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. In other words, change your perspective and your mind to think the way God thinks, and you will experience the way God wants you to experience real and true, happy, beautiful, satisfying, perfect life. Isn't that what it says? Absolutely. So if you believe that you're righteous in Jesus, then you will also need to believe that you are physically healthy and whole in Jesus, because that's what affects that wonderful healing, physical healing, right? So you need to let your mind accept divine health and wholeness just as it accepts divine righteousness. Isn't that so? You see, this is how righteousness can and does impact our health. Let's end off with this one, Romans 5:17. Watch this. It says, for if by one man's offense, talking about Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive, Notice, not earn or deserve, but receive. Those who receive what? Abundance of grace. In other words, unmerited favor. And what does it say next? Of the gift of righteousness will reign in life, that's this life, and the one to come, through the one, Jesus Christ. Right? So notice, two things that enables us to reign. One, it's the abundance of grace, and two, the gift of righteousness. So notice, you reign in life, and not just this life. You reign in life. And I looked at this in the original. It's talking about this life and the one to come. You're going to reign. Why? Because you live in the grace of God, or under grace, and because you receive the gift of righteousness in Jesus. It's powerful, wouldn't you agree? And it says receive. So what do we need to do? We need to receive them, right? So in other words, if you want to do anything, if you feel like you have to do something, then do this. Become a better receiver. Isn't that true? It sure is. You see, this is why we can never exhaust teaching and preaching on grace and righteousness. Because the more conscious as believers we become of God's grace and righteousness, then the more we will live in and enjoy good health and wholeness. Because I've just shown you today that there is a clear connection between understanding righteousness and good health and wholeness. Amen.
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry, or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.